Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
David Rosenberg, he was called yesterday to be the goalie for the Montreal Canadiens. He made the short list. Let's get this out of the way quickly, David. Mike McKee's in therapy off the collapse of the Boston Bruins. What are the Canadiens
need? Well,
we've
got room on the couch for David and for Tom.
Is Mr. Subban showed up for your Montreal Canadiens?
Well, I don't think PK can play both goalie and D. Actually, I think PK had a really good game last night. I don't think the whole team showed up, but you know, here's the reality: the Canadiens had 40. I think Lundqvist stopped 40 shots. So there's the answer. He's a phenomenal goalie.
And the Rangers playing with a religion, as we say good morning to all at Bloomberg 1130 in New York. David, within your wonderful research note on Canada and the United States and all, buried in the back is classic Rosenberg, which is the surprise of surprise or low yields. This is a Rosenberg angle. And you say the bet is on. What's going to happen to a 2.54% yield when we finally go higher?
Well, if the yield goes higher and it's premised on the clouds parting and the economic outlook and things accelerating, then what happens is you probably have the equity market on a more firmer footing, and a lot of the sectors that have done so well this year on this really defensive tilt, REITs and utilities and healthcare, I think you sort of go back in the equity market to more of the growth and cyclical names, most likely now at better prices, if this premise holds that the economy ends up doing better. Because I don't think, barring either some resumption of deflationary forces within the U.S. or an economic relapse, I think it's going to be very difficult. Notwithstanding what your view is on the Fed, I think it's going to be very difficult for yields to stay where they are right now.
Story out the other day that one Ben Bernanke is going around on the speaking circuit, making a tidy sum, imparting his wisdom, and telling hedge fund managers, other investors in these private conferences, that yields are basically going up.
We need to frame this. Josh Bolton, former OMB for President Bush, this was where, at the Dallas Fed, was this, Mike?
Well, he was there yesterday, I believe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's been in a number of these events. So, I mean, he's seeing no inflation. He's seeing no reason for, growth not fast enough, no reason for interest rates to rise significantly at all. Where are you on that? I know you came out and were looking for inflation. Has that view changed at all?
Well, no, my view hasn't changed. I think that the market's perception of the risks has certainly changed in the first 4 months of the year. You know, to say that there's no inflation out there, there's no inflation, that's a pretty big call to make, especially when you take a look over the past 3 months, and you could see that core headline inflation is 2.3% in annual rate. Core inflation is 2.3% in annual rate. We're not talking about crazy rates of inflation. But right now, you're buying a 10-year treasury note at 2.5%, and the near-term trends in core and headline inflation are at 2.3%. So maybe there's a whole bunch of non-economic reasons why you'd want to buy treasuries at these levels. But when you take a look at any measure of inflation right now, whether it's core goods, core services, headline, the core total, inflation's actually bottomed and is moving irregularly higher. So this view of there not being any inflation, I know that makes for great headlines. I just wonder when people say it, if you've actually looked at the recent data, you get a totally different story. And it's not about inflation accelerating to double digits, but inflation bottomed for the cycle and is starting to head higher. And especially in the service sector, which people seem to ignore. That's, people look at the CRB.
Thank you.
Right. But how
sorry?
High? How high, how high are we heading on inflation?
I would say that, I wouldn't be surprised in the next 12, 24 months that we're talking about inflation getting up to 3%. So I'm not talking about 5, 6, 7%, but you talked today to people about 3% inflation. You might as well be talking about 10%, back in the 1980s.
Let me clarify. When did you say that is? We get to 3%?
I'd say in the next 12, 24 months or sooner. And what I will tell you is that the core service part, you take a look at what's happening with rents and you take a look at what's happening with transportation services. Disney just raised prices. The service sector is seeing inflation, and I think that's going to be driving the system. So I think that inflation is going to rise to 3%, and it's not the end of the world, but I don't want to buy treasuries two and a half against that backdrop.
What is the response when you tell this to institutional investors, David? I assume they start throwing things at you?
Well, it's almost the inverse of when I was waving the deflation banner, up until a year and a half ago, and had that view for 20 to 30 years, and nobody seemed to believe in the deflation story. And frankly, I can't lift up the newspaper today and not hear about deflation or disinflation or that inflation's never coming up. And Ben Bernanke can say what he wants about the bond market. I'm sure he's an expert, of course, on monetary policy. But Ben Bernanke in July 2003 gave a speech called An Unwelcome Fall in Inflation, where he predicted that core inflation by the end of 2004 was going to fall to a fraction of 1%. And when you look at the data, by that point we were over 2% on our way to 3% in the last cycle. I think in the final analysis, you can go out for dinner with Ben Bernanke, and I think he's probably got a lot of tremendous insights. There's no question about why people would want to spend that sort of money to go out with him. Doesn't mean his forecasts are going to come to reality.
What you expect, and then what's the impact going to be if another major central bank is now easing again?
Well, I think that, an ECB easing is already effectively priced in, and you were seeing that in the dramatic action up until recently in the humongous rally in the peripheral bond markets there, and the fact that the euro strength has been stopped out. I mean, the question is going to be, what sort of easing? Will it be negative deposit rates at the banks? What form of quantitative easing will we see? At this stage, it's going to have to be something pretty big to actually move the markets based on what's priced in. But there's no question that you have a very fragile recovery there. I wouldn't compare it to the United States. And you have a monetary policy that's been too tight for too long. Remember, this is about the only central bank that hasn't been nearly as aggressive as the Fed or the Bank of England or Japan has been. And my sense is that if they want to prevent deflation, they're going to have to weaken that euro. You remember the IPO in the euro back in 1999 was 118 and change. So what it's doing at 137, well, you got me. But I think that it's fair to say that bearish bets in the euro are finally going to pay off. Look, the Bank of Japan, speculation that they're going to extend their quantitative easing program too. And my sense is that this will prolong that period of keeping global interest rates relatively low. I'm not saying that global bond yields, even the U.S. bond yields, are going to rise inexorably. The point I'm making is that 60% of the U.S. CPI is services, not goods. The service sector domestically is starting to see some inflation. The Fed is going to keep the funds rate at the floor for a long period of time. I don't dispute what Ben Bernanke's got to say on that or anybody else who's at the Fed right now. But the question is, if you're looking for value out the curve, why would you buy a 10-year note at 2.5% when that's where the level of inflation seems to be gravitating towards? You have no inflation protection at that level.
Within that, David, and with your excellent work on slicing and dicing price change, do you buy Mr. Gross's new normal shifting to a new neutral where there will be, even if it's your Canada or the United States, there will be a convergence to a more dampened level of animal spirit, a more dampened real GDP as well?
I think there's no question about that. We are going to be into a new regulatory environment, especially as it regards the financial sector. Whether you want to look at Dodd-Frank or look at the Volcker Rule, we're going to be basically having in the future less credit growth to support every ounce of GDP we can squeeze out of the economy. I think what we're going to get on the other side is probably more stability and perhaps even a longer economic expansion as a result, instead of, these credit-induced boom-bust swings that we've had, say, over the course of the past 30 or 40 years with that credit expansion that went parabolic in the last cycle, Tom. So my sense is, yes, the new normal will be slower growth than we had in the past. I mean, demographics are going to play a role there too, right? But also more stability in credit. That's going to be slower growth, less amplitude. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to to have interest rates moving, say bond yields moving, in a 2 to 4% range. That is still part of the new normal, but it doesn't mean you stay at 2%. You get to 4, you might not stay at 4%. So the new normal is a lower range, but it doesn't make sense to me where the bond market's priced right now, unless you believe we're going to slip back into a recession.
A note just out. This is from Citigroup on Credit Suisse. It is highly detailed. I don't want to go into all the math involved. But David Rosenberg, they talked there about Citigroup believing the recent announcements from Barclays, RBS, and of course the Deutsche Bank capital raise will add further significant pressure on other banks, notably Credit Suisse, to sharpen the focus. I love that phrase, to sharpen the focus. Everybody's hunkering down, and I felt that at Davos as well. Why are we doing that? Is it because there's no broader economic growth?
Well, firstly, there's really no global leadership except that there's been in the past. We had Japan, say, in the 1980s, 1990s, 2000s, belonged to the U.S. Then the last decade, we had China. China's now deliberately slowing down its economy, and they have credit excesses that they deal with. We have the Eurozone, which is as big an economic unit globally as the U.S. is, still working through their debt excesses and their structural reforms, and they're going to be in a weak growth phase for the next 10 years. So when you take a look at a global view and you do a bottom-up, it's tough to come up with vigorous rates of economic growth, and that's why we're talking about whether it's the new normal or whether it's about hunkering down. I think on top of that, you know, I still find amazingly that, everybody is still, the scars of that awful credit contraction and asset deflation that we had. Remember, home prices went down more in that period from, say, 07 to 2010 than they did in the 1930s, and we have much higher home ownership rate now than we did back then, so the impact on household balance sheets was far more acute. So I think that the lingering scars and memories of that of the last cycle, I think, is one of the things that's keeping people, whether you're a consumer, whether you're a business, I think more cautious than we have been in the past. I still think those lingering memories are affecting people's behavior.
Speaking of caution, I got to ask you, with the uncertainty over exactly what the ECB will do, what the Bank of Japan will do, with what's going on in Eastern Europe, et cetera. When you look at your forecast that you're making and you're telling us about, how much confidence do you have? Are you fairly certain of what's going to happen, or are you concerned that, there's still a lot of unknown unknowns out there?
I think that it's fair to say that no matter what your conviction level is, it's certainly a lot lower than it's been in the past, and I'll be the first to say that my conviction level is not as high as I'd like it to be. And I think Janet Yellen, really hit the nail on the head when she gave that New York speech last month, when she talked about the uncertain path of the economic outlook. And so that's why I think these central bankers are staying easier for longer.
Right.
When you have uncertainty, you'll just sit in the sidelines longer to make sure you make the right decision. So I think it's true for all of us. I think the bands around any forecast today, whether it's interest rates, even whether it's inflation or growth, much wider than it's been before.
Short of bringing back J.C. Tremblay or Jean Beliveau, can the Canadians win one game, David Rosenberg?
I still think we're going to come back and win the series. But then again, you know that I turned into this Perma Bowl. So I think we're
what's your confidence interval on the Stanley Cup?
David Rosenberg, always a pleasure. We get a huge response from Mr. Rosenberg.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.